screen. One of the most important rooms of the house is my wine cellar, where it's important that the temperature stay below 60 degrees. So the system is designed to alarm if the temperature goes above 60 degrees. I get an SMS on my mobile telling me that there's a problem in the wine cellar. And in fact, it actually happened because the cooling system stopped working while I was on travel. And every hour on the hour until I got home, I had a little note saying that your wine is warming up and you better do something about it. The address space of the internet was chosen in 1977 to be 32 bits, or about 4.3 billion unique terminations. And the chart that you see going down, which many of you have already seen, surely, comes from Jeff Houston in Australia. And his point is that we're running out of IPv4 address space. That's the line going down is the amount of space left at the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority to assign to the regional internet registries. And it is estimated to run to exhaustion about the middle of 2010. Although as more people notice that we're going to run out, they may attempt to get more address space more quickly, in which case we could run out earlier than mid-2010. And that motivates the need for putting in the new IPv6 address space, which is 128 bits in size. I'm sure everybody knows that. I used to go around saying that 340 times 10 to the 36th addresses was enough address space so every electron in the universe could have its own web page, until someone sent me a note saying, "Dear Dr. Cerf, you jerk, there's 10 to the 88th electrons in the universe and you're off by 50 orders of magnitude, so I don't say that anymore." I'm very happy, though, to tell you that Google has started implementing IPv6. If you are on the IPv6 connected part of the internet and you go to ipv6.google.com, you'll get to our website with the standard search tools, and the logo is animated so you know you got there with IPv6. We're working to put all of our other applications up as well. And eventually, probably in 2009, www.google.com will deliver both a Quad A and the conventional 32-bit address so that your software can choose between them. Implementing IPv6 is not trivial, and I was very glad to see that there's a whole track associated with IPv6 implementation. It's not the same as simply running one format of packet. IPv4 was easy in that sense because there was only one way to look at an internet packet. It had a fixed format. Now there will be two concurrently operating in the internet. That means that we're running two routing tables, running two routing algorithms. We're doubling the rate of updates because we have to do both at the same time. All of the error systems, the network management systems, have to manage both formats of packets. When there are failures of one kind or another, you may get reports coming from both the V4 and the V6 part of the system. And probably the most critical problem with running two different address spaces at the same time, given that they don't directly interwork, is that the internet of today, as the V6 comes up, is not fully connected. In the history of internet, since there was only one format, whenever anyone connected to any part of the internet, they were connected to all of it. But with V6 coming up in little islands, just because you're operating V6 doesn't mean that you're actually connected to the rest of the V6 operators. The only way that's going to work is if we have a fairly strong and liberal connectivity and peering policy. For example, if you are agreeing to peer with someone in V4, you should also agree to peer with someone in V6. The problem is that not everyone is coming up at the same speed, and so even if you're capable of running V6, your IPv4 peer may not be able to do so, in which case you may find yourself an isolated island. There are ways of dealing with the problem, but they're very awkward. Things like tunneling through the IPv4 network, although it functionally works, has some weaknesses because if the tunnels break, it's not obvious exactly where they broke and what was wrong. Which makes for a tunneled V6 network a less satisfactory and less resilient system than what we would all like. So we have a number of things that we need to do to make the V6 deployment function well. There's another issue associated with the business models. Some people, ISPs, would like to charge extra for running IPv6, and I consider that to be a foolish decision. because all they're doing is inhibiting people moving over to IPv6. And what they want is everyone to move over as quickly as possible so that they can continue to grow their business by having IP address space to sell. And if they don't have it, then they aren't going to be able to expand their operations. So it's a silly idea to try to inhibit anyone from implementing IPv6 by charging extra for it, in my opinion. Now, to switch to DNSSEC, Steve's already pointed out how important it is. It's also critical for people to appreciate that there are a number of serious weaknesses in the design. In fact, most of the internet is relatively unprotected. I'm not going to try to defend that too much, except to say that in the beginning, no one knew whether this thing would work at all. And so trying to build in a great deal of security, it seemed to me, would have interfered with our ability just to test the concept. On top of which, the actual technology for doing securing of the net wasn't readily available. In 1977, if I remember correctly, or maybe 1976, was the first paper written on public key cryptography that was known to the public. There's work that was going on in England and possibly also in the United States, but that information wasn't available to the public. So the first time that any of the tools that we take for granted, digital signatures and the two-key systems, weren't even visible until 1977, and the actual algorithms like RSA didn't get invented until a bit later, and by that time the basic standards of the internet had pretty well settled into place. So these technologies weren't available in the very beginning in order to design a more secure network. And now, of course, here, as Steve points out, it's 2008, and we really do need to secure the system because people are depending on it so much more than they did 20 or 30 years ago. It's my understanding that here in Sweden especially, there's been some serious exploration of the use of digital signatures in service areas like financial services and banking, where people really do need to be assured that the server that they go to is the one, in fact, they're supposed to go to, and not one which is they arrive at as a consequence of a phishing or farming attack or a poisoned cache in a resolver. So in the near term, the implementation of DNSSEC, in my opinion, is extremely important to improve the security of that part of the internet, the domain name system part. But we're also entering a period when domain names are going to be made up not just of Latin characters, but also characters drawn from other scripts, including Arabic and Cyrillic and Chinese and Japanese and so on, the 22 languages of India and many others. And there are a lot of hazards associated with that, too, that DNSSEC might help to resolve. Although not necessarily, because if a user mistakes, let me take an example, PayPal. If you registered PayPal using Latin characters, which the current service uses, and someone else registers PayPal but uses Cyrillic A's instead of Latin A's, the domain name system will treat those as two different strings, even though the human eye may not be able to tell the difference. You could imagine someone legitimately registering PayPal with the Cyrillic A and then digitally signing that particular entry, in which case if you ask for a digitally signed answer, you'll get one. It's just that you'll go to the wrong digitally signed location. And so even with DNSSEC, there's a potential hazard because legitimate registrations that are confusing could lead to the wrong result. So all this tells me is that not only do we have to get DNSSEC in place to prevent certain kinds of attacks, but we also have to work very hard at other parts of the system in order to minimize the potential for user harm and confusion. To make matters even more complicated, ICANN, the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, is going to be opening up new top-level domains in the generic space, as well as offering an opportunity for country code TLDs to register domain names that are using non-Latin characters. So the internet is going through changes now in 2008 and 2009, which are more dramatic than anything except the beginning of the network in the 1970s. All that suggests to me is that as you sit through the conference meetings today, that you keep very focused on the fact that the internet's dynamic evolution is not over, and that you're playing a role in making this system survive into the future. So let me stop there and thank you very much for allowing me to take time this morning. I'm going to sit in as many of the parallel sessions as I can. Despite Steve's claim that I can be in more than one place at the same time, this may be true, but usually my brain is in one part and my body is somewhere else, and the two don't necessarily turn into double or triple utility. So I'll try to keep my brain functioning while you're talking. And again, thank you all for coming, especially, and working so hard to make the internet better than it is today.
Okay, good morning. My name is Stefan Hagnell. I'm head of research and development at .sc. And I have, together with my colleagues, been working with this workshop for a while now, and we are very pleased that so many of you could come. Thank you for coming to Stockholm. Before we actually begin, let me provide you with some practical information. And if we start with the schedule, you all got the schedule in the handouts. It's within the map. It's a yellow page. It says that we have three parallel sessions. The first one is about the technique, the system of building DNSSEC. And the second one is more market concerns about DNSSEC, because we really believe that we have two problems. One is the technical problem to have this system up and running. The other problem is to actually get the market up and running, and both of them are tough. The technique is, of course, the fundament for everything, but you mustn't underestimate the problem of actually get this market up and running. The third track is for IPv6, and if we look at the different sessions, the GNSSEC tool, the first session is just to get the status. We know that there are some tools around, obviously, because Bulgarian Czech has actually started to sign, so they are using something. But we also know that our tool needs to get improved. So we think there's a lot of work that has to be done in this field. And what shall we do? Should we work together in some way? Or how should this work be pushed forward? So the first session is really about the status, what is in use. We got one registrar that should present